Barnabas, the original bus. What's a Barnabas but the son of consolation? The bus is an automobile type thing, vehicle, that helps get people from point A to point B. And my friend, that's what a Barnabas does. Amen? He helps get people from point A to point B. And in church, we need some Barnabases. We learned this morning about Barnabas and what his name meant. We heard, saw in the Scriptures how he saw a great need there in Acts chapter number 4. And we saw in verse 36 and 37, and seeing this great need, he gave a great gift. And my friend, you know the Lord is looking for us to give a great gift, likened unto one that has already been given, the Lord Jesus Christ. As He gave His gift, we looked at four things this morning. We looked at Acts chapter 4, verse 37, how Barnabas having land, which was a personal gift. Then he sold it, which was a sacrificial gift. And then thirdly, he gave it all because he brought the money, which is a complete gift. And then lastly, he laid it at the apostles' feet, which is a humble gift. God gave it a humble gift unto the Lord, which was a Christ-like gift. Barnabas was a help missionary. He had a ministry of just helping. That's who he was. That's why the apostles gave him that surname Barnabas. And my friend, we need some more Barnabases, amen, in church. I've been in some churches that have buses outside. Praise the Lord, you have some vans that do go and pick up boys and girls. I can understand the vans, and it's so far to go and to bring people in. But it's great. Why a bus? So why a van? Again, to get people from home to church. Why? Because you think it's important. God thinks it's important for people to hear the Word of God. But not only that, while here at church, we are here to grow in the Lord. And so the preacher gets up and he gives you the message that God's gave upon him, line upon line, precept upon precept, the whole counsel of the Word of God. I love your pastor. I count him as a great friend and brother in Christ. I count him as a great, great person to go look for to get some answers, because I know that he will not leave one leaf unturned. Amen. He will turn over every leaf, every rock, every thing that to get to the root of the matter. Amen? He'll get to it. And then let us know how he got there and back with everything involved in the middle. Praise the Lord. You're not missing anything here at church. I've been at some churches with some preachers that they just give you a three-point outline in a poem, and they tell you a very long story and have an invitation. You know, that's good. There's a place for that. I've got actually 5 points tonight. Amen. And if you add it to this morning's message, which was 4 points, I got 8 points now. Amen. And I'm just breaking it up. Let's see if you're all still awake. Amen. Yeah, you're preaching now. You're going to put us to sleep. Now, I don't know if I can help it. I told folks this morning, if you can sleep during my preaching, go ahead. Amen. But I may wind up in your face spitting at you just a little while, but do it in Christian love. Hey, I know I don't yell or scream or shout or anything like that. I don't fuss. I stomp my foot a little bit and I can get a little bit firm in the voice, but God's been so good. God's been so good. And in my life, my friend, God has put a Barnabas to help me along. And has He put a Barnabas in your life to help you along? See, we learned about this Barnabas. He was just a man. He was just an individual in the church. He didn't have any Bible college. We're not really sure what he did as a job, but he did have land. He had something. And that which he had, God said it was needed, and he gave it because it was a help to the ministry, help to the cause of Christ to get the gospel out in this new church. But that's not all he did. He wasn't just a giver. And we all need to be givers. Amen. How do we give? Time, talent, treasure. You know what God wants the most of your that you have? He wants your availability. That's what He wants. He'll make you into what He wants you to be. He just wants you to be available. Well, I don't know if I can do all that. You probably can't. But with the Lord on your heart and the Lord on your side, you can do it. I had a man at my church that said, you know, I'll never be able to, to do anything in church. Well, I said, yes, you will. Yes, you will. He said, what do you mean? Well, I gave him a little job first. Do you think he can be an usher and help people down the aisle and find seats for them? Why, I can do that. Do you think he can stand with a plate in hand and kind of pass it down the aisle? I think I can. Then you're now a servant. You're now becoming a Barnabas of helps, a ministry of helps. What are you doing to help the church? What are you doing for the cause of Christ? Hey, can I tell you something? Being here is one step. You got to be here to be a help. Amen. If you're not here, you're not helping anybody. You're definitely not helping yourself. So definitely be here. The second thing you can do is to try to say, how can I give? As Barnabas gave what he had, what do you have to give? And it may be something personal. It may be something sacrificial. But God's going to use it and do some great things. So now we're going to take the next step in Barnabas' life. You see, we see that he's gotten saved and we see that he's now a part of the church and there was a great need. He saw it. It was easy to see and he got into it. He also saw the second need. Amen? This is what the church is. It's about ministering. It's about being a minister. So open your Bibles now to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 9. And Acts chapter number 9, verse number 26. I want you to see the title of tonight's message is Barnabas, a help in Christian-like discipleship. A help in Christian-like discipleship. My first point this morning was he was a help in Christ-like giving. Tonight, a help in Christian-like discipleship. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. We'll read through, stop, have a word of prayer, explain it, and get through the 5 points. 5 points. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Amen. Let's learn about this Barnabas tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Guide us as we go through the Scriptures, learning again about this man's life. Dear Lord, we do not know how old he is. We do not know how young he is. We do know that he is here and God, you've given him a job to do that, dear Lord, each of us can do. Lord, help us to see this simple passage of Scripture and how it applies to us. We love you. We praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to come down early because I got to explain. Sorry, y'all are up here in the front balcony seats, but I got to go back here. Amen. But I'll be back. I'll be back. Now, there was this guy named Saul. Do y'all remember Saul in the Bible? Saul, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, Saul. Okay, this is Saul. Saul was a bad dude. Now, I'm not talking about King Saul in the Old Testament. He was a fair dude that turned bad, okay? Now, we're talking about the totally bad dude that went good. Amen? I like good stories. Now, Saul was a persecutor of the church. He came and he would come try to get among the church folks and he would try to find out where they were, Noah. I'm going to use you in a minute, okay? Because you're going to need your help. Okay, you're going to be a visitor here in a minute. So came to the services, and then he would go and tell the soldiers where these people were. They would come, they incarcerate them, and often put them to death. One such was Stephen, a deacon at the church, and they brought Stephen out, and they stoned him. And Saul stood there with his arm out, holding the coats of everybody. So, did anybody in the church want to be around Saul? No. What's your name? Saul. Nice to meet you. You know, we'd run away. We don't want Saul. But something happened to Saul. Amen? On the road to Damascus. Amen? He saw the Lord while riding in his chariot and he saw the bright light and knocked him off the wagon. He knelt down unto the Lord and he said, and the Lord said, talk to him and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He instantly became a believer. Hallelujah. That's where the song came from. Amen. I saw the light. I saw. He saw the light. Amen. He saw the real light. The word and the voice came to him. And he saw the light. Amen. The light came on. He got saved. Amen. And he went up further into Tarsus. And there the prophet was called in. And he had these things on his eyes. And he prayed over. And they fell off his eyes. And he was a believer. They had to lower him down. And he went to Jerusalem. That's where our passage kicks in. So now Saul. Let's read it again. Saul. And I'll explain it as we go. And Saul, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, he desired, he had a passion, he was looking forward to seeing the apostles. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So what's going on here? Saul's now saved, amen. He's joined the ranks of the believers. But now he wants to come to be a part of the church, so he goes to Jerusalem where the apostles are, and the disciples, the followers of Christ, and he comes to them and says, I'm a believer, I want to come be with you. And they said, No way. Because they did not believe him. Would you have believed Saul? No. Who would have believed him? I don't believe you, my friend. We saw you. We heard about you. We fear that name, Saul, because we know what you do to Christians. We know what you did to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We know that. We're smarter than that. We might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. Amen? Okay, you stay with me? 1, 2, 3. Okay, amen. So they said, no way. Hey, has there ever been someone like that that came into church that you kind of looked at and you thought, what is he doing here? What is he doing here? And look at him. Look how he looks. And how can this guy? We know this guy. This guy goes to the bar all the time. He's always out there. He's always on his big bike. He's always making a ruckus. He's always cussing up a storm. He's always doing all this stuff. And he comes to church. And everybody's like, what's he doing here? We kind of shun folks like that every once in a while. We kind of move over. But something happened. He saw the light. Wasn't sure what to do yet. But he knew he needed to come to church. But I wonder how many folks had come to church and had got kind of pushed to the side. Like Saul. And Saul got kind of pushed to the side. He wanted to join into the disciples. He wanted to be discipled. He wanted to be taught. But nobody wanted Saul. But that wasn't a deterrent to Saul. Saul was going to do it anyways. Amen. And he did. So here we have a guy that's got saved. He wants to grow in the Lord, but nobody wants him. Not because of how he looked. Not because of any kind of prestige that he had. But because of his name. He was Saul. So they pushed him away. What's the next two words in the next sentence of the verse? But Barnabas. But Barnabas. There was a Barnabas there. Nobody wanted him but Barnabas. Nobody cared to go to him but Barnabas. Nobody wanted to invite him or get to know him or do anything with him but Barnabas. Barnabas did. Here's my points for tonight. Again, there's only five of them. We'll get through them. It's part of the passage here. I mean, it's real simple. As we go through it, you will see it. But there's going to be a point, a little right up on the point, and then a dot, 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 a subpoint. You get it? You know, kind of, it's all in one line. Okay? So if you're taking notes, here's number one. In verse number 27, we find Barnabas. Barnabas what? Took him. That's number one. He took him. Meaning he found him and he claimed him, dot, 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 discipleship. He found him and he claimed him, dot, 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 discipleship. Now, this evening we have a visitor with us. He just kind of made his way into the auditorium, kind of rode down to the front. He kind of found somebody that he might know, but he's not really sure. He's not really confident nor comfortable about this guy that has his arm around him that he's never met before, because we have a visitor in the service this morning who just made his way to the front row, and he's kind of like, why is this big guy got his arm around me? I'm not quite sure what's about that. Yes, he does. We know the reason why. But he's going to be a visitor. So Noah, would you kind of move over to the other side for me?
Yep.
Just move to the other side. There you go. Okay. So here's Noah. He's visiting. We don't know his name yet. He's a visitor. He looks kind of sharp today, but nobody knows him. And he made his way up to the balcony section. And so he's down in the front row where the blessings come to the spot where the blessings come out. And so he's down here and he's come to church. But as you can see, for illustration, he's by himself. He's all by himself. Handshaking time comes. Maybe a couple folks will come over, you know. And they may shake his hand. He's not going to walk out of the pew and walk around and shake people's hands. He doesn't know anybody in the church service. He just came walking in and he sat down and nobody came. But what does a Barnabas do? Here's the point number one. Anybody can do this. You ready? You with me? Point number one. He took him. So Barnabas would walk in the side door or the back door and say, hey, there's somebody down front that's all by himself. Hi, my name is Barnabas. What's yours? What's that?
Saul.
Hi, Saul. Glad to meet you, buddy. Hey, welcome. Hey, my name's Barnabas, and I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Yeah, he's a Christian. Amen. And you come to church today?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I see that you're by yourself. So is it okay if I get to know you a little bit better? Maybe become your friend? Yeah, okay. I like Noah. I knew he'd get right in the program with me. Yeah. Okay. And so, what did Barnabas do? First of all, Barnabas took him. This is claiming. This is coming to him. This is discipleship. Okay. Discipleship starts with you saying, you know, we have a visitor here today, and I want to get to know him. I'm going to do more than just during handshaking time. Says, oh, hi, glad to have you in church today. Hey, glad to have you. Yeah, he just whimpered. Ooh, nobody liked me. You know? But to be a Barnabas is to come and to claim him. I'm going to take him. I'm going to claim him today for as far as he'll let me. Amen. We've got to be cautious of this. We don't want to over push ourselves on anybody. But yet, we don't want to do that to the neglect of not trying. Amen. Okay, so we got a visitor here today. I'm going to come up before service, and I'm looking and I'm watching. That's what Barnabas does. Nobody else wanted to be around Saul up here, but a Barnabas. I took him. I claim him. That's the beginning of discipleship. Have I had a Bible study with him? No. Have I tried to pray with him yet? No. Have I done anything at all really with him? No. But the beginning of discipleship is to say, hi. Can you say hi? Together? See? You've already started discipleship. Amen? That's what Barnabas did. But Barnabas, amen? I've got to get back to my notes here. He took him. He found him. He claimed him. ... Discipleship. We find that in the verse. Verse 27. Let's get back there again. That's not all he did. Secondly, we find that, and Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles. In other words, Barnabas, he befriended him. And then he showed him ... fellowship. Fellowship. The first point, discipleship. The second point, fellowship. So what did Barnabas do? Barnabas, now just pretend service hasn't started yet. Miss Carrie's up there playing the beginning music and everybody's smiling, walking around. Pastor hasn't mounted to the pulpit yet and made silence. No. Before we begin, amen. I like that. Let's get serious about what we're doing for church. Praise the Lord. And so before all that's happened, I've gathered now with this guy, I'm meeting him for the first time, and I said, Saul, hey, Barnabas is my name. I want you to meet some folks. Now, have you ever been here before?
No.
Now, here's the big question. You don't even have a clue where the restrooms are, do you?
Outside?
No. No, we actually got running water in our church. Now, maybe some churches you've been to, I heard about, they don't, but we do. Only last week, but we have it now. We don't have outhouses, we have in-houses. All right. Now, so let me be your guide. Let me show you around a little bit. Let me give you a quick tour. How about that?
Sure.
Come on with me. So he follows me, and I take him down the hallway in the back through the fellowship hall. I take him through the fellowship hall, and I show him all the different places. You don't have any children, do you? No, not yet. Well, maybe one day. This is what the nursery looks like. And so I'm carrying him around, showing him everything. And so what am I doing? I'm showing him. I am taking him. I have took him. I've started discipleship. And now I am fellowshipping with him. I'm fellowship. I'm talking. I'm communicating. I'm showing him around. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, I'll tell you what. If you walk somebody around the church and kind of tell them a little bit about the good things of church, amen? We don't want to talk about the bad things of church. Just the good things of church. We want smiles. Right? Miles of smiles. Because this is the right place to be, isn't it? Amen. It is. Praise the Lord. If it isn't, get right with God and make it be. Amen. All right. Now, so I'm showing him around. So now I am getting to know him. That's what else he did. Now, can I borrow your Bible for a minute? Can you point your finger at the verse? Oh, you closed it. Okay, so as soon as you get there, read that verse again where it says, and took him and showed him to the disciples. So now I am taking him and showing him the disciples. I showed him around. Are you with me? Did you find it? 27. What does it say, sir? That's it. Declared unto him. And declared unto them. So what I'm going to do next in this declaration, I'm going to go look. No, I'm sorry. Be right back. Okay. And declared unto them. So what did he do? That is, he testified for him, giving him credibility, ... kinship. Kinship. Now, Saul, do you know anybody here? No. Nobody's here. He's a visitor. Okay. You only know. Now, if I were to go across the congregation and I would say, Saul, our pastor is in here somewhere. Where, oh, where did our pastor go? No, she's not the pastor. She waved at you, but she's not the pastor. Okay? She's not. But she would like to get to know you just a little bit. We'll get there in just a minute. But, hey, what am I doing? I'm going to show him. Not only am I going to show him around the place, I'm going to show him to people. And not only am I going to show him to people, I'm going to introduce him. So we're going to go this way. I want you to meet my pastor. We like him. He's fun. And his wife is always smiling. Nope, not him. One more. There we go. Yeah. This is our pastor, Pastor Markle. And he's been pastoring the church for quite some time. We enjoy coming. He's always here to help him. Pastor, this is Saul. Saul, this is our pastor and his wife, Carrie. What am I doing? I am now giving him an introduction, thus ... giving him credibility. Amen. I'm giving him instant credibility. So through me, Barnabas, you all know me, I'm Barnabas. But you don't know Saul. So I'm now giving him credibility. See, Saul took Barnabas to the disciples and gave him credibility. I took him and spoke for him. He spoke for him. Now we're going to come this way. There's a young lady I'd like for you to meet. Well, these young ladies, they're cute, aren't they? But they're already spoken for. This one here is married to me. This is my daughter. She's not available. Okay. But this one back here seemed to wave to you. She might, maybe she knows you or something. And can I have your name again? There's so many people in church, I forgot them all. This is Tiffany. Tiffany, this is Saul. And Saul, he's a good guy. I was talking with him today. And what do you like to do, Saul?
Church?
He likes going to church. Do you like going to church too, Tiffany? He likes going to church. Maybe I'll, get to know his family. Maybe introduce him to your husband and all that. Hey, she's expecting. Did you know that? Of course you didn't know that because you're a visitor. Oh, come on, man. All right, come follow me. So we get together and I'm going to spend time with Saul. You can have a seat back here again, Saul. He's a great help. And so, now, have I had a Bible study with him yet? No, I haven't. Have I prayed with him yet? Have I asked him the deeper things of God? Have I tried to solve his problems? You know, anything? No. I'm just being a friend. I'm just being a comforter in church. I'm just trying to be a help. Amen. So I take him, and he founds him, he claims him, discipleship. Then he brought him. In other words, he befriended him and showed him around, fellowship. Then he declared him, meaning he testified for him, giving him credibility, which is ... kinship. kinship. He says he's saved, then we're instantly brothers in the Lord. Amen? He has his Heavenly Father, is my Heavenly Father, we're related, we just never met each other before. But now, he could be my best buddy. For the rest of our lives together, we could just be working together side by side, kind of like a Paul and Silas and Timothy and so forth. But I would not have known if I hadn't started. If I hadn't started. And then we find here next, how he declared, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. So he gave them credibility. In other words, he gave testimony of him to the disciples. Disciples, look, don't be afraid. Saul got saved. He shared with me his testimony. And so he showed me how he got saved. And look, I believe him. I'm Barnabas. And he gives them credibility in the church. He's saved. Oh, you're saved? When did you get saved? So he shares some familiarities. And so now he's getting to know you. And you are now getting to know him. Because there was one that got involved and one that helped. So what happened next? That's only 3 points. We've got two more left. We're almost done. This is flying. We'll wait till we get to the application. Amen. Here we go. So he declared that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him. He spoke to him. Which is my fourth point. He spoke to him. Meaning, he listened to him. ... Relationship. I built a relationship with Saul. I'm trying to get to know him a little bit better. Hey, where do you work at? Oh, you got a home business. Okay. Interesting. He's got a home business. He takes care of a home. He's got some help with them. He works with a couple ladies and another guy to take care of the home, the house. Oh, you don't? What do you do? He's not saying construction. Yes. Are you a creator or a demolisher? He likes demolishing things, yeah. One day he'll get to creating. And so I get to know him a little bit better. And you know what I might do? This is pretty practical, isn't it? This is pretty simple. It's pretty practical. Nod your head with me, okay? Now, so I'm with him. I get to know him a little bit. He's construction. I may know this guy over here who's in construction. I may know somebody else that's in construction. Hey, Saul, let me introduce you to another guy that's into construction. Now, I'm not really big into construction, but let me show you someone that is. And next thing you know, you may even say, I know that guy. I've worked with this guy on a job. And they get to know each other. And I said, well... And Noah, a.k.a. Saul, says, I want to sit with them instead. Hey, no problem. I'm just glad that you're here. So have a seat. Yeah, no wonder he had his arm around you all the time. I knew that. So he spoke to him. He listened to him. He built a relationship with him. And so now I'm chatting with him and I'm building a connection with him. I'm getting to know like a quick bond. To where when he leaves here today and he goes to his home, I hope and I pray that when he thinks of this church, he'll think of a Barnabas. He'll think that somebody cares about him. And as I show him around at the different people, I hope that you would respond like Tiffany did and say, hi, welcome to church. Glad you're here with us. If he's with Barnabas, he's got to be somewhat okay. And so that's where the introduction comes in, to showing, making them feel comfortable. And so, when he feels comfortable, he'll get involved in church a little bit more and do more. And then what happens next? Saul is now a part of the church because of Barnabas. And so, now, Barnabas is sharing with the disciples all these things. And declared, verse 27, and declared unto them how he, Saul, had seen the Lord in the way. And that he, Saul, had spoken to him. And in other words, Barnabas had conversed. And how he, Saul, had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So not only did he get saved, but now he's sharing his faith. Verse number 28. And he, Saul, was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Here the slayer is now being sought to be slain. I think that's quite a bit to say. I was once with them, but now I'm so far against where I was that those which I was partnering with to go slay the Christians, they're now seeking me. Wow. You're the kind of guy that I want to get to know and help and work with. and to get to disciple, and to have some fellowship with, and to build a kinship with, and to build a relationship with. And so, what happened next? Verse 30. Which when the brethren knew. When the brethren knew what Saul had gone through, and when they finally knew what was going on, they finally were able to drop their guard just a little bit. They were able also to have him come over and to be able to work with the disciples. But it would not have happened if it wasn't for Barnabas. And they, when they knew what had happened, when they had now the knowledge thereof, he says, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout either. What is it? What did you have there, Brother Holtzclaw? I put this is E for me, or number five. They sent him. They sent him. Or ... partnership. Partnership. You see, if I take Saul and I introduce him to everybody around the church and everybody kind of gets to know him just a little bit, in one day, when he is shaking hands, now he's not just shaking anybody's hands, he's shaking some people that he's met. And only that, when service is over and it's time to go, you've learned a little bit more about him so that you might want to talk to him a little bit more. And some of you do stay and talk with each other after church. Praise the Lord, that's wonderful. But then to have somebody new with you to join in the conversation, to get to know them, and next thing you know, they're leaving church with this, well, those folks are really something down there at the Melvin Baptist Church. Now, here's my question. Here's a quick question. Saul came today, and if he just sat up here and nobody talked to them, nobody shared anything with him. Nobody showed him around. Nobody did anything. And after service was over, that was a good message. Yeah, it was nice singing and all that. And maybe one or two came up and shook his hand during handshaking time. But then he kind of just after service, he made a beeline to his car and drove down the road, Melvin Road, up, down the woods, you know. Do you think he'd be likely to come back, or maybe more or less likely to come back? Think about it. Would you? But on the other hand, if someone came and took him and claimed him and then started to show him and then started to spend time in fellowship with him and started to get a connection with him, maybe not yourself, but maybe with another, to get to know some of the things around the congregation, around the church, and everybody's smiling, everybody's friendly, everybody's happy to be here, and you are. Now he leaves, if he gets out of here. Now he leaves and gets in his car and drives down the road. Is he more likely to come back or not likely to come back? You see, I wanted to give you something this week. I want to share something to you from my heart. Having been here and spent a week with you here 2 years ago, can I tell you something? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't forget each other. When I actually have some pictures of you. I do. Do you remember the one that I took from the pulpit? I took one from the pulpit of you. I have it on my flip slide of different places that I've been. I got a picture of Jason and his wife and all the family, all the Lee family, and we're sitting all side by side. God. That's... No. Gosh. Got to tell you something. Look, hey, but it's a remembrance of you. It's a remembrance of where we were and the connection that we made last time we were here. So in coming this week, I wanted this week to be special for you. I want to give you some. Oh, can I fuss and fume? Sure I can. Can I foam at the mouth? Oh, absolutely. Just ask my wife. That's before I eat. Amen. Can I cry with you? Sure. But I want to give you something that's going to help you individually, personally, that can help you. But I want to also give you something that you can take yourself and grow with. See, Barnabas' life continues. I've got three more messages about the life of Barnabas. Each one hits a specific topic of just a regular person that gets saved, starts coming to church and gives of themselves personally unto the Lord to see where God leads them through their life, even unto the very last mention of the name of Barnabas. That'd be Wednesday night. But for tonight, I want you to think about right now. Has there been somebody in your life? Somebody that came alongside you? Someone that started talking with you and befriended you in church and encouraged you along, maybe showed you around to some folks in church? Oh, we get comfortable. We know everybody in church right now. We know who everybody is. Everybody sits basically in the same spot. I know Pastor's a little put out right now because we're sitting in his spot. But I told him that he'd want his guests to have the best seat, and if that's where he sits, that ought to be the best seat. Amen. But really, he sits up here most of the time, though. Amen. The balcony is the best. Down the spit zone, the splash zone. But to have someone that loved you and cared for you and has worked with you and has strengthened you and has given their time into you and has partnered with you and has joined in fellowship and kinship. Now you're best of buddies. Don't forget where you came from and how you got to where you are, to not come back around and to help another to get to where they need to be. You see, when we start getting, here's a word, a little bit of mindful / sentimental about where we came from. And if it wasn't for this person helping me in my life, where would I be? You see, I had two in my life. I had many, really, many Barnabases that have helped me along in my life. But two, really. There was this one guy in my church that, when I was just a young teenager, that, you know, my dad is the other one. But I'll get to my dad in a second. But this guy named Bruce Keith. Bruce worked in the maintenance at the church. We had a fairly large sized church, Christian school and bus ministry going, and his job was the maintenance, to change the light bulbs, make sure everything was taken care of, table set up, chairs set up, every function, he was there. And Dad said, Tim, I'm going to carry you to the church, I want you to help Brother Bruce, and I want you to help him do all these things. But while I was there helping him, Brother Keith was discipling me. He was talking with me, he was sharing his heart. See, a lot of the other guys were going off to the big Bible colleges, but Brother Keith said, no. I said, Brother Tim, I just don't see you in that big college. Why don't you think about going to Trinity? Why don't you think about this other school? He would take me on jaunts with him. He would take me to different places, and we would talk about the Bible. We would talk a little bit about life. He just befriended me and encouraged me. Next is my dad. My dad became partners in ministry. I got saved when I was 11 years old, and he rededicated his life in his mid-40s, late 40s. He got involved in church, got involved in the bus ministry, got involved in picking up boys and girls. The bus leader that was on the bus that was doing it first left the bus route, which left my dad. For about 40 years now, my dad's been working in the bus ministry, picking up boys and girls. He's 72 now. Hold it, Dad. Something like 72. When he turned 70, he had gotten off the bus route for a couple years. When he turned 70, he says, I'm going to start a brand new bus route because he cares about people. He started with 12 on his bus, and it wasn't but 3 months, and he had 60. And he had a list of 60. My dad was just that way. I couldn't do that. I could try, I'd go knock on doors and do it, but Dad just had this gift. And he always encouraged me. He always said, Tim, I'm proud of you for what you're doing. You could have gone to business, you could have made a lot of money, but you decided to serve the Lord. There's nothing wrong with going in business. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. If you're doing it for God, that's what counts. Giving it to the Lord, that's what counts. Giving of yourself to the Lord, that's what counts. But was there a Barnabas in your life? Think about that, Warren. Secondly, do you need a Barnabas? Do you need a Barnabas tonight? Do you need someone that can be a blessing to you and encouragement to you and try to get to know you a little bit better and try to make you feel a bit more comfortable in church and maybe disciple you a little bit? Maybe have that prayer time with you. Can I encourage you maybe to come see the pastor, pastor's wife, ladies, and say, you know, I sure could use somebody to help me along. They're going to have a big smile on their face and they're going to say, praise the Lord. We'll do what we can to help you. But maybe you've come to the place that you're just part of the crowd. You're part of the family. This is all one big family. We're all together. That's great. But who are you helping? Who are you getting to know? Who are you discipling? My Bible says there were some that were saved and growing in the church, had been in church a long time, and they were being rebuked because you're like little children. You're still on the milk of the Word when you should be on the meat of the Word. You're still being taught when you ought to be teachers. Shame on you. Shame on you. Become a Barnabas. Become just a regular guy or a regular gal that looks beyond self and is willing to give of yourself unto the Lord so that God can use you to help another. To help another. You're going to see what happens in Barnabas' life. You're going to be amazed. It's wonderful. And it's pretty touching at the end. But what's going to be said at the end of your life? What's going to be said at the end of your journey? When we enter that place up in heaven, how many folks are going to come up and say, thank you, as that one songwriter wrote, thank you for giving unto the Lord. I'm a life that's been changed. Thank you because you gave. Thank you because you talked with me. Thank you because you shared with me. Thank you because you poured your heart into me. Thank you because you loved me. Thank you because you got to know me. Thank you for building a relationship with me. You didn't know all the answers. You didn't know all the Bible. You didn't know all the things, but you were able to give of yourself to me. Thank you. Thank you because of your life and because of your testimony. I was able to do so much more for God. Look at the crowns I got for Jesus. Look at the rewards He's given me for what I've done. But I would not have gotten it if it wasn't for you. Let's all take our crowns to Jesus. Let's all lay them at the Savior's feet. My friend, there's a great need today for Barnabas in the church. If there was just one, it would revolutionize this church. If there were two, if there were three, if there were four, if the whole church would say tonight, I am getting my life right. I need to be a Barnabas for Jesus. It'll revolutionize this whole area, my friend. It'll revolutionize all of Melbourne. Wouldn't take too much. But, hey, Melbourne needs a revival. This little borough here needs revival. It needs revival. Let it be known as a place where people can come and meet Barnabas and not go get a drink at the bar. Because people need the Lord. With their heads bowed and eyes closed tonight.